We have a taco bar. So everybody right now, get up and there's plates right there. Fill up your plates and enjoy the meal. And as you do that, I'll just pray over it. Father God, as we come before you, we're thankful again for the opportunity we have to be here together as a family. We're thankful, Lord, for the things that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we're thankful for the hands that prepared this meal. We ask that you bless each of them. We know, Lord, you bless us no matter what. Strengthen and nourish our bodies and do us the good we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Feel free to have seconds. Last week, Karina talked about John chapter 13, but she forgot to do chapter 14. So I'm going to touch on 14 and work 15 and 16. When Karina talked last week, she talked about Jesus putting the towel on and washing his disciples' feet and telling them that one of them would betray him. He also shared the Last Supper with them, kind of like we did today. We shared the lunch. And he told them that he was going away and that they couldn't come. And Peter was like, I will follow you anywhere. But we know that he told Peter, you will betray me 3 times before the rooster crows. In chapter 14, Jesus spoke to him about the concern for disciples. And they were confused, but Jesus told them to trust him. In chapter 14, the second half of it, Jesus teaches on discipleship. So we all should be disciples of Jesus. Jesus is preparing for his departure by telling them that he will send an advocate, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read chapter 14, verses 15 through 31, and if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On the day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them. We will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have you to know before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father commands. Come now, let us leave. My favorite part in there is where he says, Peace, I leave you. This is where Jesus is telling the disciples he's leaving, but he remains with them. He is assuring them that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would come to take care of and guide them. When we accept Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit, God's present, to dwell in us, to help us live as God wants us to, and to build Christ's church on the earth. How do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? How do you experience him in your life? I was laughing the other day. I'm like, okay, I was supposed to text people all throughout the week, and I just kept ignoring it and kept ignoring it. And then I was supposed to put the Facebook post out that we're having the common meal, and we're going to talk about 15 and 16 in John. And I kept ignoring it, and finally just said, okay, fine. Texted 3 people, encouraged them, and then I put that on Facebook. That's how I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me, because he doesn't stop bugging me, tells me to do stuff, and so I do it. One of the primary crops grown in both ancient and modern Israel is grapes. We're going to talk about John 15. We talk about the grapevines. A good portion of Israel is dominant by hills. Grapevines thrive in its rocky terrain in ways that other crops cannot. Because grapevines are so abundant in this region, these crops are often used as a metaphor in the Bible to describe abstract spiritual matters. Ancient Israel was frequently described as the vineyard and the vine that God had prepared and planted. Unfortunately, this image did not always cast Israel in its most favorable light. Ancient Israel was often depicted as a vine that had failed to bear fruit. Israel was God's chosen people. Not because any of the rest of us are left, but because he thought that they would take care and encourage people to know God. Isaiah 5 1 through 7. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked up for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad. Now, you, dweller in Jerusalem and people of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedges. It will be a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars, thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judea are vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. This scripture conveys how the people of Israel failed to live out their God-given calling. How many of us are living out our God-given calling? I'm not. This is a practice run, I think. Karina 2 weeks ago said, "Are you ready to be pastor?" And I'm like, "Are you ready to be a pastor?" Well, is God ready for you to be a pastor? That's the question you need to ask. In John 15, Jesus picked up the familiar metaphor and instructed his disciples to bear fruit, just as God had instructed ancient Israel to bear fruit. But Jesus adapted this metaphor slightly. Ancient Israel repeatedly demonstrated through their shortcomings that people cannot bear fruit while fulfilling their God-given calling in their own power. So we can't do this by ourselves. We can't fulfill the calling God has for us without God's help. We need the power of God in our lives. So Jesus says in verse 1 and 5, "I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. Your branches will remain in me and I will remain in you. You will bear much fruit." When Jesus identifies himself as both the I am and the true vine, he is God in the flesh, fulfillment of everything ancient Israel was supposed to be. He is the true vine, which is able to bear fruit. He also added that we can be part of the fruit-bearing vine as branches. So Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And we're all connected. We're so all connected. We're all connected here today by sharing a common meal. We can live out our God-given calling, but we can't do it on our own, as I said. We have to remain connected to him, just as fruitful branches must remain connected to the vine. This metaphor served as a challenge for the disciples who were soon going to lose Jesus, their firsthand access to Jesus. Karina and I are like a vine, and we're always connected. People that we have in our families, we're always connected. My mom died 3 years ago. That connection isn't there anymore. I can't go and hug her. I can't go and talk to her. Jesus, we're always connected to Jesus because he's coming back for us. Only by staying connected to him through avenues like prayer, the Holy Spirit, scriptures, and community could we thrive in our lives and in ministry. The same goes for all of us. If we do want to grow into people God has called us to be, it requires more than just one time saying, "I believe in Jesus." We must remain intimately connected with him. I think when we get into the world, we forget. There's always something going on. Karina said today, we've been going since Friday morning, Thursday night. We're always going, doing something, always going, doing something. We went to Ginger's graduation, and then we went to Karina's aunt in Price. And then we came home last night, and I some of the food together, and it was 11 o'clock before I went to bed. And then I had to get up early so we could get here and make sure that everything else was done. We're always doing something. But I took a minute or 2 minutes and just sat and did nothing just to remember I needed to stay connected and what the real meaning of today was. It wasn't about the food. It was about me remembering that Jesus is the vine, or is the vine, and I'm part of the branches. I'm part of him because I believe that we have to stay connected. And it's not easy because we're always going and we're always doing and we forget. But we don't have to close our eyes to say a prayer. Barry walks around praying all the time. He doesn't have to close his eyes. He's just walking around praying. In John 15, 5 through 8, paints a metaphor of the branches and Jesus is the vine and has the potential to bear much fruit and give God the glory, when we stay connected to him. But this is entirely dependent on our choice to remain connected or not. I know some of us get mad. Things don't go right. We get mad. I know Barry's told the story before. He got mad at God because things happened. But he kept walking around and walking around, and he stopped in front of the church. I love the story where Penny pulls him in. I love it. And then he comes again, and Penny pulls him in again, and she tells him, I'm not going to pull you in every time. But that's part of being connected. That's part of being connected as a family. That's part of being here. Why we're here together. When we cut ourselves off from Jesus, we cannot produce fruit, and we cannot make disciples, and we won't bring glory to God. Sometimes I think it's easier to just step away, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to always be connected with him first, because he's the one that gives us the strength. We're not going to always be happy with people, because we're human, and we all make mistakes, and we all open our mouths, and we all say the wrong things. But we also need to remember we need to forgive one another for the stupid things that we say and the hurtful things that we say. And it's not easy. It's not. Sometimes we have to cut ourselves off from people that are negative all the time, because when we get negative, when we're around people that are negative, it's not hard to start being negative. We want to stay connected to Jesus, who is our vine, and we are his branches. What are things that cut us off from the vine and prevent us from bearing fruit? What fruit does your life produce that brings glory to God? Praising God, singing. When we're down, we should be singing praises to God. We should be singing. Whether we have a great voice or not, we should be singing, because God's always listening. I know most Christians have wondered at some point if it would be easier to just follow Jesus when he lived. We would get the benefit of seeing and hearing him personally. As we've seen, we will continue to discover through the book of John, it's not necessarily the case. And when I was reading that, I was like, it's not the case. I would love to have been with Jesus. But then I'm thinking, it would have been hard to watch him go and not get discouraged. Like the disciples, I'm sure, got discouraged. He needed to go so that we could get the Holy Spirit. So we would have somebody always talking in our ear and telling us what to do. Faith is neither automatic nor is it easy, because you're in the physical presence of Jesus. In the coming days, we will read stories about some of Jesus' closest disciples who doubted, denied, and even totally betrayed him. Christian living might actually be easier on this side of the biblical history. Jesus says in John 16:7, but verily I tell you, It is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. What Jesus is saying is that his departure allows for the Holy Spirit to come, which we all know, because we all have the Holy Spirit. The idea of losing their leader was distressing. So if you think about it, pastor's been here for a long, long time, and he will tell you, and he's told us for a long time, he's hoping that he just drops dead in here. I'm like, I don't want you to drop dead in here. That's kind of scary. And we know that he has cancer, and I know seen him slow down a lot in the last 6 months because of what's going on with his body. But he's trying really hard, but he's excited to go meet Jesus at one point. He's always saying, I can't wait to go. But God's not ready for him yet, and we're not ready for him to leave either. But he's always talking about how excited he is. I'm excited too. I'm not done yet. Barry knows he's not done yet either. He's been through a lot of health issues, and he's still going strong. Healthier now than he's been in years, right? Because the disciples were so distressed, Jesus wanted to make sure that they knew that the Holy Spirit would come and be with them. And we know that when in the upper room that Peter preached his first sermon, and he was so filled with the Holy Spirit. John 15:18-20 isn't exactly a convincing sales pitch of why we want to become Christian. As believers, persecution is a common experience. In some areas of the world, persecution literally involves fearing for your life. But most of us, it means cultural persecution. Being gay and Christian is not easy. It's easier in this day and age than it was 20 years ago. People accept us more. The generations coming up, they don't care. They're like, you can do whatever you want, which is great. Which is great. But we still need to be that shining example, which is not easy, because sometimes I open my mouth and I shouldn't. And even after God tries to keep it closed, I open it. But it should stay shut. I should always use words of encouragement instead of nitpicking. Many Christians are wary of admitting their faith in certain circles. As we know, they may be ridiculed, poked fun at, ostracized, but Jesus assured us that both is normal and expected. So we should know that we're going to get ostracized, picked on. And we should say it's okay, because we know who we belong to. In con- in today's context, what does persecution look like for you? We went to Ginger's afternoon luncheon, and her aunt said, she was talking about how we were helping at the church and stuff, and her aunt, what did her aunt say?
She said it was the wrong church.
Yeah, she said it was the wrong church. I was like, okay. I just smiled. I didn't say anything. I just smiled. And Ginger texted me last night, and she said, I hope my aunt didn't offend you. And the aunt turned around a few minutes later, and she said, I was just kidding. I hope I didn't offend you. Karina's like, oh, she did say that she could say the same thing. Karina could say the same thing to her. But I was laughing because I was like, Karina's like, I don't get offended easy. As long as you love Jesus, that's all that matters. Why do you think the world has always hated Christians? It's always to get ahead. We're always moving towards, it's all about me, all about me, all about me. What if we took a week and decided just to figure out what Jesus really wanted us to do? How hard would that be? I think it's hard. I think it's really hard because we're always doing something. Challenge is to try an hour or two this week and see if you can do it. And then next week, try 2 hours and see how much closer we get to God. In order to live a life of bold faith, we must have courage. Spend some time in prayer today and ask God to give you the courage to be true to your faith amidst persecution. Jesus predicted that the disciples would scatter after he was arrested. And they did. Jesus knew the fear would be in the disciples' weakness and that they would still need to grow into the people that lived out their faith to the point they would be willing to die for it. Jesus takes us through the same process. That's encouraging because we're not going to all get it at once. We're not going to all get it. We just need to start. That's the greatest thing that we can do is just start. How well do you live out what you believe about Jesus? I was thinking after we left Ginger's aunt, I was like, I should have said something. But I didn't. I just smiled. I know maybe God was telling me not to say anything, or that was just my excuse. Jesus is our vine. We need to hang on to that vine. We just need to make sure that we don't let go of it. We need to encourage one another to know that, read the scriptures and know that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And we don't want to be cut off. We want to stay strong. Sometimes we get, I was reading this book and I was reading and I was like, oh, if the branches aren't producing, then they get cut. I probably have been cut a few times. Good thing I repent and come back because sometimes it's easier just not to do anything, but it's not, because God wants us to be encouraging people and loving people. Is it easy to love people? Not in my own strength, but if I remember that God loved me first, Jesus loves me first, then it's easier to know that God's taking care of it. Just remember that if you need something, ask the Holy Spirit. We're all believers. We just have to ask. We have not because we ask not. That's one of my favorite scriptures. People are saying, well, you shouldn't be asking for that. Why shouldn't I ask for something? I'm waiting for God to give me a new car. I am, honestly, waiting for God to give me a new car. And every time I hear, like I said last week, every time I hear a new noise, I just want a new car. But it's not time yet. And that's okay. I can patiently wait for God to say it's time. Could I have said that 15 years ago? Nope. I would have went out and bought what I wanted no matter what. But growing in maturity in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is amazing. Like I said last week, I listened to The Shack, and it's a hard book to listen to at first because of the tragedy that happens, but the relationship from when he goes to the shack and talks to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it just paints that picture of, I can have that too. If you haven't read The Shack, if you haven't listened to it on audio, if you haven't seen the movie, I encourage you, because it's a great way to picture what God would be really like and how we need to make sure that we remember that God's always with us and he's helping us even when we're at the bottom of the bottom and so discouraged. Because it's easy to get discouraged. And when we go to Pride this year, we're going to go and we're going to put our shirts on and we should represent love, because that's what we're supposed to be about. Will you go with me in prayer? Father God, we come before you at the end of this, and Lord, we just ask that whatever you want to put on everybody's heart, put it on there. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to know that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. Thank you for being and keeping us connected with you. Help us, Lord, help us to understand what that really means. Help us to encourage us and uplift us. And Lord, when we need a kick in the butt, kick us in the butt to help us to grow in our relationship with you, because it is about a relationship. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Lord, we lift Pastor up to you again, and we know that he's healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, because we all stand in agreement right now that that is happening. And Lord, whoever else needs healing, Lord, we just ask that you just reveal yourself to them in that healing relationship. Thank you, Lord, for the time and the week that we have ahead of us. And Lord, help us to encourage one another and help us to be encouraged to be able to step out and be the branch that we need to be for somebody else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.